Hey guys, it's Leanna.
And it's Alyssa.
Welcome back to this week's episode
of Life's Fertile Questions. So, have you ever been given the blanket statement of you have PCOS and you were wondering what that means? Well, we were wondering that too. So today we've broken it down to four types of PCOS, and we're going to talk about them.
All right. So let's kind of cover just what PCOS is. I know that's an acronym that kind of gets thrown out a lot, but PCOS stands for polycystic ovary or ovarian syndrome. And it is a syndrome, which means that it's based on a collection of symptoms.
And it affects 6 to 12% of women, which is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if I should be shocked that it's 6 to 12. I feel like that's kind of low.
Really? I don't know. I think that anything that is like above 5% is pretty high when you think about women make up more than 50% of the population.
I guess that's fair. But maybe it's just because we're in this trying to conceive community, and I feel like every other woman we talk to has this.
Oh, but that's true. That's true. And a lot of people, I think, are misdiagnosed with it, too.
Right. They think they have infertility, so they are just told, well, you have PCOS then.
Yeah, you're overweight and you have a mustache? PCOS.
But PCOS is the most common cause of infertility, so I think that's maybe why the statement is jumped to so often.
Probably. And just a oversight, we are not doctors. And we're not going to pretend to be doctors. This is all stuff that we've just researched or looked up. So none of it is coming from our medically minded standpoint.
Right. But it's not made up stuff either. Yes. I mean, this all makes sense. And I think there's a lot of truth to it. So let's start with the most common type of PCOS.
Okay, so insulin-resistant PCOS is the most common, like Leanna said, and it is 70% of the women with PCOS have this type.
Now that's a statistic that is crazy high.
Yeah, so what that means is your levels of insulin are preventing ovulation, and they activate the ovaries to produce testosterone in excess?
In excess, yeah.
Yeah. So insulin, we all kind of know that term because we all kind of, I think, know somebody with diabetes, mm-hmm. or have at least watched a show or two with somebody that has diabetes, and insulin's involved in that. So that's how you break up your sugar, right? Process your sugar?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
let's start with maybe some of the symptoms of, do I have it? So you crave sweets, but who doesn't?
I know.
You have an apple body shape, and I think this one is a pretty determining factor. So an apple body shape is when you carry your weight in your stomach, not your hips or legs or your chest. You're pre-diabetic. That's a huge one. Or you have an abnormal glucose tolerance, which glucose meaning sugar.
So that just means that you're like, you can't process, your body's not processing sugar properly. And so then you can't lose weight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And supplements that help are, there are supplements such as Inositol. And that is the most common one kind of given to insulin-resistant PCOS. And I think diabetics in general. Like, that sounds to me like a pretty generic term I've heard.
I've heard of the Ovusidol. I've used that before to help me ovulate. So maybe I know they're related somehow. I gotta look it up. We'll look it up later. We'll be back to that. Yeah.
And then there's another supplement, medicine, whatever you want to call it, that I personally was given when my doctor first thought that I was insulin resistant. and it's called metformin. And you guys have told, or you have heard me talk about this because I am not a fan, but my body didn't need it. And I think that's why I had such a bad reaction to it. But I have heard many women praise it if they do have the insulin resistance.
And they also give that to people who are diabetic to help them lose weight, right?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
All right. So the second most common type of PCOS.
Pill-induced. Now that sounds kind of funny. But pill-induced, so it's the second most common type, like Alyssa was saying. And pill-induced means that you were taking birth control and it suppressed your ovulation once you stopped. So your ovaries would work on their own, but some women would not recover from the effects
of birth control.
Of birth control, yeah.
So basically, all of those chemicals that we pump into our bodies for long periods of time, some of us 10 years plus, with all those nasty side effects, well, one of them is, hey, when you come off of it, guess what? We might have ruined you and you might not ever ovulate on your own again. Or at least take a really long time. So how do you know if that's what you have?
So pretty much if you've had normal periods while you were on birth control and after birth control, you do not have periods.
So just your periods just boop, pop out of existence.
And a treatment, I don't know how scientific this is, but what I could find was that licorice was a treatment. Maybe there's some chemical in there or some, I don't know, particle.
Did you see what kind of licorice? Black licorice or the red? It's
black licorice because black licorice is true licorice. True. Red licorice is totally fake.
It's all sugar, right?
It's fake, yeah. There's no licorice in red licorice.
So if I drink a lot of root beer, I'll be good because root beer has black licorice in it.
In its true form?
Like pure, like if I go to BJ's and I get their home brewed.
I don't know. That might trigger some insulin resistant sugar crack right there.
But it's so good.
Yeah, so maybe don't jump to soda, but if anyone's tried the licorice and it's helped with their periods, I would love to know.
Yes, let us know because I need to know if I need to be buying little tubs of licorice to be chewing on. Did you ever, when you were younger, did you ever use the licorice as a straw? Yes. Where you would bite the ends off and put it in your soda? Yeah. Oh, the days where I could eat whatever I wanted and it not matter.
Yeah, I love black licorice and I've been eating it my whole life. So who knows, maybe that's helped in more ways than I know. I know many people don't like it though. So
this, when you looked it up, it was just pill. So just the standard form of birth control, or does that apply to even the people that have shots and like the ones that get the injections, the little or things the in their arm, the Nexplanon or whatever?
When I looked it up, it said birth control pills. So I'm going to assume it's just your pretty standard over-the-counter pill. Yeah.
Alrighty.
So moving on, our third type of PCOS is inflammatory PCOS.
So inflammatory PCOS is basically in the name. So you have chronic inflammation, which hurts your body functions like ovulation, and that just messes with your hormones. It also can trigger the production of testosterone, which is what causes the changes on your body, like it's like acne and stuff.
Yeah, and hair growth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so women's body is meant to have testosterone, but not in excess. And the inflammation kind of triggers your hormones, and it leads to unbalanced hormones, which leads to the excess in testosterone.
So do I have it, Leanna? What are the symptoms?
So extreme fatigue, skin issues, bowel difficulties, chronic headaches, IBS, joint pain. It's kind of actually a long list.
So all the non-fun things, just something to think about. How you treat it is you need to eliminate inflammatory foods. So have you ever heard of the anti-inflammatory diet?
Mm-hmm.
No dairy, no wheat, no sugar. Try giving up sugar in its entirety. I don't know.
There are people that do it, but I don't think I could.
You said your mom did it?
Yeah, my mom did it, I think, for about 2 years, and kudos to her. I applaud you, Mom. But it takes a lot of willpower. And sugar's in, like, everything.
It's true. And I'm over here like, I just made creme brulee. And then you need to avoid plastics. So I think that's the, what is it, the
BPA? Yeah.
And try magnesium. So magnesium can help with that.
And I know that, I don't know, I was actually surprised this wasn't higher on the PCOS list. Because I feel like this is pretty common. Like, just, you know, we're in a day and age where everyone's going on the anti-inflammatory mm-hmm. just because of things we put in our body. And I don't know, I just would have thought this would have been higher, but maybe not in the PCOS world, maybe in the, you know, just diet and lifestyle world.
Well, it could be maybe because most of the women get diagnosed from PCOS because they're overweight, right? So yeah. Then that would mean that most of them are insulin resistant PCOS. So maybe the people that are inflammatory just are not getting diagnosed as easily or as often.
Maybe.
Maybe they get diagnosed with something else. I'm kind of suspicious. I kind of think I have that because I get the... I've been getting lately, it's been weird. So I've been getting headaches every time around like ovulation.
Hmm.
Like, have you ever heard of that? It's so weird. Like, well, maybe literally...
it's a kick up of your hormones.
That's what I was thinking, but it's only been recently, only like the last couple of months that it's been happening to me. And I don't like it. So the last type of PCOS, it affects 10% of women, is the adrenal PCOS.
Yeah, so when you have more adrenal androgens, such as DHEAs, you may have adrenal PCOS. And this one, there was not a lot of stuff on, I think probably just because lower than 10% of women with PCOS have this. I think this is the one everyone's kind of confused by and maybe don't know as much about. But it's caused by an abnormal response to stress. So I don't know if maybe that's like anxiety attacks to stress or... what's an abnormal response to stress?
Just maybe your body just goes into the fight or flight mode. And you're just, it's working overtime. Anytime you're stressed, it thinks it's dying. Like, we gotta run. But all of the symptoms fit in with all the other PCOS types. Except you'll have an elevated DHEA. And normal testosterone levels. So if you got diagnosed with PCOS and then they check your hormone levels and they say, hey, your testosterone is normal, maybe you don't have PCOS. Well, actually, maybe you're just one of the 10% of women who have the adrenal PCOS. But, so
yeah, the other indicator is that your DHEA, which is something they check, would be elevated.
Did your doctor check for that?
It sounds really familiar, so I want to say yes. I don't remember seeing like DHEA on my lab results, but it was maybe spelled out completely with in whatever long name it is. Yeah.
So when you got diagnosed with PCOS, what did your doctor tell you?
Just, do you have PCOS? That's it? They didn't like send me with any... Well, okay, I take that back. Like any doctor, they say, oh, you need to exercise more. Make sure you're eating healthy. You know, stay off the sweets. Like every doctor you ever go to. But I don't remember anything specific other than you have PCOS. And when they started doing, when we got into the infertility, you know, checkup appointments and we were doing ultrasounds, like every other week, they were noticing cysts. So that's kind of maybe the only standout that really, like, oh, I have PCOS.
Because I thought to get diagnosed with PCOS, you had to have 3 symptoms. So, like, it would be, like, you have to have the cysts, and you have to have the weight gain, and you have to have the, like, hair growth or whatever. And then that would qualify you to be determined PCOS.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't surprise me, because I feel like I have skin issues, frequent bowel difficulties, and chronic headaches. You know, those are kind of all things I live with on a daily basis, but...
Yeah, it's interesting. I would be interested to see when I go to the doctor, which hopefully once I move and I take care of all my stuff, I will do. I know, shame on me. It's the last thing on my list. But I'll be interested to see if I would get diagnosed with PCOS, because for a while there in 2020, my like ovulation charts looked like PCOS, where it was going up and down and my hormones were crazy. I could just tell in my own body, like, when my hormones are crazy. I don't know what it is, but, like, I can just, like, feel it that I'm not normal.
Yeah. I think going in, though, knowing kind of the types of PCOS, and then you just laying down kind of your symptoms and then asking, hey, can I get, you know, this, and this hormone checked? Mm-hmm. I think that would help out a lot. Sometimes doctors need a little bit of a push to get some certain lab results done. Because I don't think PCOS is the first thing on their list of things to check.
Which is weird, because if it's the most common cause of infertility, you would think that it would be the very first thing that doctors would go to, is to rule it out. Let's make sure you don't have PCOS.
Yeah.
Just so crazy to me.
I'd be interested, too, to find out if doctors... say you have PCOS before or after they do your lab results, too. You know, if you walk in, you're a little overweight and you have headaches and, you know, excessive hair growth in certain areas, if they just say, oh, you have PCOS, or if they actually do the follow-up with results. Like, how many women have been misdiagnosed without being diagnosed?
Well, we know somebody who got misdiagnosed. Yeah. That she was told she had PCOS and then just recently found out that she... no, we don't think you do.
Yeah.
It's just so frustrating. But I think that's like that with any chronic... There's no cure for PCOS, right? As far as I understand, there's no cure. You're just treating symptoms.
Yeah.
So I think that's always going to be frustrating, because there's no cure.
Yeah. I think, yeah, the frustrating thing for me was when we were doing infertility the first round... You know, they give you your cycle meds or whatever, and then they bring you in a week after you take it, and they check on you, and, you know, you have a failed or a stalled cycle because a cyst pops up. That's so frustrating. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing they can give you. They just say, oh, you're going to have to wait it out.
And they're painful, right?
Yeah,
you were saying that you could feel it when you had, like, a cyst pop.
Yeah, it kind of burst, and you get, like, these super intense, like, focused cramps in your abdomen area, and it kind of lasts most of the day, but I don't know, I guess there are worse things, but yeah, it's not fun.
So when compared to labor,
well, my labor wasn't that bad because I got an epidural, and so I was pretty numb.
But like, when did you get the epidural? How far into it did you make it?
I want to say I made it like... So I went into the hospital at like 4 a.m. and I got it at 6. So I went in for 2 hours.
So were you like 4 centimeters or?
Oh, yeah, I was 4 centimeters.
Okay. That's pretty standard.
Which, yeah, the nurse was actually, you waited that long to come into the hospital? I'm like, well, I didn't want to be turned away. Cause that's the biggest fear you have, right? Of, you see those like horror stories of, oh, go home, come back in an hour and the baby gets delivered in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be horrible, especially if you have like a history of it. I'd be like, excuse me, all of the babies in my family have been born within 6 hours, and yeah. It's been four, so.
Well, I've had two friends that pretty much had their babies in a car, so.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That scares you.
That's crazy. Oh, thank you. So, if you're wondering what kind of PCOS you have, check it out. Look at the symptoms, because the diets are different. And how you treat it is different. And so, don't just treat PCOS. It's not all the same. It's not all the same.
Right. And like Alyssa was saying earlier, there's no cure for PCOS. However, you can manage the syndrome or, you know, your condition with exercise, healthy diet, you know, pestering your doctors for medication you might need to treat the symptoms, or don't, because we all know symptom treating can lead to other issues. But
they say go on birth control. That's what I've heard the most, is that they say you want to regulate your periods, put you on birth control.
I think that there's truth to that. I've had that happen a few times.
Yeah. So you may be able to treat it without having to do that, but there are women that we know, like Kit, if you listen to her episode, she fought it and fought it and fought it and then went on birth control, and it was right after she got off of it, she got pregnant. So you just never know what will help you, but I think knowing, or at least having a good idea of what kind of PCOS you have, will really go far, help you go far in treating it.
Absolutely.
Making a difference.
So thanks for listening to this week's episode.
And we'll catch you next Wednesday.
See you later.